Life search. Trick.
Vision.
Vyadharayat. Fixed.
Translation.
Thereupon, that man who spoke on different subjects with thousands of meanings and who fought on thousands of battlefields and protected thousands of men stopped speaking and, being completely freed from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide open eyes upon the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garments that glittered and shined. Purpose of Srila Prabhupada. In the momentous hour of leaving his material body, Bhishmadev set a glorious example concerning the important function of the human form of life. The subject matter which attracts the dying man becomes the beginning of his next life. Therefore, if one is absorbed in doubt of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, he is sure to go back to Godhead without any doubt. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 8:5-15. And whoever at the time of death quits his body, remembering me alone, and once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. Whatever state of being one remembers, when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. 7. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting, with your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. 8. He who meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, Arjuna, is sure to reach me. 9. You should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and being transcendental, is beyond his material nature. 10. One who, at the time of death, fixes his life air between the eyebrows, and in full devotion engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord, will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 11. Persons learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. 12. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagement, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. 13. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planet. 14. The one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. 15. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Sri Bhishmadev attained the perfection of quitting his body at will, and was fortunate enough to have Lord Krishna, the object of his attention, personally present at the time of death. He therefore fixed his open eyes upon him. He wanted to see Sri Krishna for a long time out of his spontaneous love for him. Because he was a pure devotee, he had very little to do with the detailed performance of yogic principles. Simple bhakti yoga is enough to bring about perfection. Therefore, the ardent desire of Bhishma Dev was to see the person of Lord Krishna, the most lovable object. By the grace of the Lord, Sri Bhishma Dev had his opportunity at the last stage of his breathing. Tatopa samritya gira sahasyanir vimukta sangamana adi puruse krishnela sapita pate chaturbuche purasiten militadrik yadharayat. Thereupon, that man who spoke on different subjects with thousands of meanings, and who fought on thousands of battlefields and protected thousands of men, stopped speaking and, being completely freed from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide open eyes upon the original personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garments that glittered and shined. So Mahacharya Bhishma Dev was a big fighter, great warrior. He was a great general, Atirati, Maharati. It means somebody who could fight with 10,000 and more fighters or elephants. He was very powerful. And there are different kinds of Rati, Ekarati, Maharati, Atirati. So the Ekarati, he can fight with 1,000, and Maharati with 10,000 of persons, and then Atirati with unlimited of persons, soldiers. Not just ordinary soldiers, no. With very powerful kshatriyas. So Bhishma Dev, he had the fortune to be on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, although he was on the other side of Krishna and Arjuna, because through political to the political situation, and also through higher arrangements. Bhishma Dev was fighting on the other side, but he was a great devotee to the Lord. Although he was present when Draupadi became blasphemed by the Kauravas, and he didn't say anything, so somehow that was one of the causes he had also to die on the battlefield. Krishna decided, even Bhishma Dev, great general, great Mahachan, great personality, great fighter amongst the demigods, even he even has to die. Even great personality, when they blaspheme great devotees, then they get also reaction. So Bhishma Dev became killed in one day, middle of the 18 days. Actually, he was undefeatable. So Arjuna, he knew he's undefeatable. He was actually a teacher of him. Grandfather, Bhishma, he was a great teacher. Like Dronacharya was a great teacher. He was also practically undefeatable. So they were all disciples. The Pandava was practically from Bhishma, Dronacharya, and so on. So one day, Arjuna, all the Pandavas, actually Arjuna went to Bhishma Dev and asked him, please, give up your body. I want to defeat you. And without your permission, without your blessings, I cannot defeat you. So Bhishma Dev
said, "That's very nice, my son, that you come to me. Very nice. And when you wouldn't come, didn't come to me and ask me for this blessing, I will kill you the next day. I had killed you on the spot." Then Bhishma, he took the vow actually upon himself to bring Arjuna in big trouble, just to see Krishna, Krishna has to fight and protect his devotee. Actually, Krishna, he took the vow, "I don't fight. You have to do it, Arjuna, and all your soldiers. You Pandavas, you have to do it. I will not fight. But I will come with you. I become your chariot driver." So therefore, Krishna's name was Parthasarathi. He became the chariot driver of Arjuna. But it's actually a lower position. It's a lower position than the one who is fighting on the chariot. Then the chariot driver, he has to act according to the commandment of the fighter. But Krishna was so inclined to his dear devotee and friend Arjuna that he took this lower position just to reciprocate with his friend Arjuna. So Bhishma Dev, he wanted to see that Krishna breaks his promise. He wanted to see it. Therefore, he actually one day he brought Arjuna so much in trouble that he practically became almost killed. So therefore, Krishna had to protect him. Although many will tell or accuse Krishna, "Oh, he broke his promise," but actually he didn't break his promise, because he gave two promises. One promise was he didn't want to fight, and the other promise was "Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pramashati," that he told Arjuna to his dear devotee, "Tell everyone that my devotee will not be vanquished." "Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati, name bhakta pranashati." My bhakta, my devotee, will not become vanquished by any weapon, by anything, because he is protected by me. And because he takes shelter by my lotus feet and is very dear to me, his dear devotee, I will protect him. So that's also a vow of Krishna. But he gave it to his devotee. He told, "You have to tell us. Because when I tell it, maybe the people will not take it seriously." And so, therefore, actually Krishna was maybe breaking the promise, "I will not fight." But he didn't want to break the promise he gave to his devotee, that "I will protect you." That was more important for Krishna. Why? Because Krishna maybe breaks sometimes his promise, no? That's not so important for himself. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever he says, it's Dharma. That's absolute truth. So whatever he does, it's right. Krishna's all perfect. And nobody can chastise him. Nobody can find fault in Krishna. Therefore Krishna told Arjuna, "You should tell it." So Krishna will never break the promise of a devotee. Therefore, Krishna was inclined or indebted to protect Arjuna on the battlefield. But how the situation was on this time, Arjuna was behind Krishna, sitting on the chariot, and he was in trouble. But Krishna, he rise from his chariot down and was running to Bhishma Dev with one of the wheels of the chariot in the hand. He was running like a lion, in the hand, with his wheel in the hand, and practically was ready to smash Bhishma Dev, grandfather Bhishma Dev, on the battlefield. And Krishna's eyes were like lotus flower, but very red, and very, very furious. He was running, you know, ready to kill him. And on the way, he was even losing his yellow garment, his upper garment. He was losing on the battlefield. And sweat can drop down from his lotus face. And when Bhishma Dev actually saw this picture, then he became very much pleased. And with folded hands, he was standing or practically meditating about Krishna. And that was the picture he wanted to see. That was Krishna he wanted to see, because Bhishma Dev, he had a relationship to Krishna in a rivalry rasa. There are 12 rasas and 5 major rasas, you know, and 7 inferior rasas. And so Bhishma Dev, he had this rasa as a fighter, rivalry, to fight with Krishna. He had the desire to fight with Krishna, to see Krishna in this picture before him, you know, to kill him. And Krishna wants to kill Bhishma. So therefore Prabhupada points out that actually Bhishma was more blessed in this moment because he saw Krishna in front of him with his lotus face, and Arjuna only saw him from the back. So Bhishma was actually very much blessed because he always saw Krishna, was meditating. Actually he was always meditating about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He was always absorbed, even on the battlefield. So that shows that one actually always has to meditate about Krishna, even when one has to fight, even when one has to perform his duty. You should never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna. And that's very important. So in this way, Krishna is always before the devotee. Krishna and the devotee is always together. Like Krishna explains to Vasa Muni, and he was coming when he was with his mystical power, he flew from the Sudarshan Chakra because he was blaspheming devotee Ambarish Maharaj. So he took shelter by Narayan. But Narayan told me, no, I cannot protect you because you blaspheme my devotee. Devotee is always in my heart and I'm always in the devotee's heart. So you have to go back to him. He's very dear to me. Somebody who blasphemes my devotee has to go to him and surrender to him and ask for forgiveness. That's the only way. I cannot help you. So Krishna and the devotee, are always together. You cannot be united. Therefore, we never see Krishna alone. He's always together with one of his devotees. Therefore, pictures where Krishna is alone, where we only see one part of Krishna, like lotus feet or the lotus head, they're actually not so much attractive to the devotee. Krishna wants to see, devotee wants to see Krishna in his full form, and always associated with devotee, like Radharani, or Krishna with Arjuna, Krishna with Yashoda. Therefore Krishna has different names according to relationship he has with different devotees. Yashoda Nandana, he's the son of Yashoda. Nanda Nandana, he's the son of Nanda Maharaj. Radharaman, he's the friend or love of Radharani. And so on, Krishna has so many names. Partha Sarathi, the chariot driver of Partha, Arjuna. So therefore, Krishna and the devotee, they're always together. They're engaged in devotional service. The devotee always thinks about Krishna. Man mana bhava nat bhakto matyachi mam namaskaru. This is described in Bhagavad Gita and pointed out by Prabhupada. That actually is the essence. That's the very most important verse. So Pratavoti, Manmana, Manmana, always think of me. Mat Bhakto, become my devotee. Mat Namaskaru, bring obeisances to me. These three things are essential for a devotee. So always think about Krishna. That's actually yoga. Jnana Vastita Tatskatena Manasa Pashanti Yam Yogina. Yoga means Yayata Jnana. Meditate upon the lotus feet or the form of Krishna. Somehow or other has to fix our mind on Krishna. But when the mind is not controlled in Krishna's service, in devotional service, it becomes our greatest enemy. It becomes an enemy. And when the mind becomes controlled in devotional service by fixing the mind on Krishna, then he becomes our friend. So the mind is his absorption in Krishna consciousness is so important. So one has to be greedy actually. Lauliam is described in Nectar of Devotion. This Lauliam cha. And one becomes extremely eager, samukkanta. Extremely eager to actually come together with Krishna, to meet Krishna, to do something for Krishna. Like a honeybee, you know, like a bumblebee, you know, is eager to get the honey, the nectar. In the same way, the mind of the devotee always goes to Krishna, takes shelter on the lotus feet of Krishna. And so all these great devotees, they show the example how one actually has to meditate in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. Devotees acharya. So the best example for us is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada as acharya, he showed how one never has to forget Krishna. Even when he was in youth, he practically was Krishna conscious. He always was Krishna conscious. When he took birth, when he was grown up, his father prayed for him, you know, that he becomes a great devotee of Radharani. He performed the Ratha Yatra. He was worshipping Radha Govinda in Calcutta. Then later on he was meeting his spiritual master. He only said, when I was in the school, you know, then I forgot a little my duty as devotee of Krishna, because there's so much to do. They engage you in so many materialistic activities. So the school is actually a slaughterhouse of intelligence. You go to school or to the university, they kill your intelligence. So naturally Prabhupada never forget Krishna in his whole life. He's Nitya Siddha. And an example of Nitya Siddha is never forget Krishna. He's never forgetting Krishna to even one moment. Always thinks about Krishna. So then when he met his spiritual master, he teached him, gave him the instruction. You are an intelligent man. You should write and print, try to translate books into English language, the Srimad Bhagavatam, this method of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Krishna consciousness of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Try to translate it or to preach it to the English speaking world. And the first time when they meet, you know. So then, Prabhupada said, even after that, I was Grihastha. I was entangled in my family life. I had already children and so on. But somehow or other, I never forget the mission of my spiritual master, his instruction. I was always meditating about it. Even although I could not do it fully as my responsibility. But in my heart, I was always there where the spiritual master is. And he also said that my father actually teach me everything, how to play Midanga, how to worship the deity, how to have a clean life, sober life. Don't waste your time, go to materialistic school. The mother wants to send him to England, but Gormahande, he said, no, why should we send our son to England, you know, he just become an English gentleman there, you know, means become a woman hunter, you know, he begins drinking wine, eating meat and so on, smoking cigarettes, like the English. In England he has to do like the English, you know. So therefore it's better if he stays here, you know, under our guidance, and so we will teach him to become first-class Vaishnava. And therefore Prabhupada said, my father protected me, he teach me, and only one thing I didn't learn from my father, that was how to produce and distribute books, to perform the mission, you know, for spreading Krishna consciousness. That I learned from my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. From him I learned, he gave me the mission. So therefore this mission is sticking in my heart. And he gave me, he told me this 1922, and he told me the same thing before he left his body in 1936, on the 31st of December, and he left. He told me the same message I was writing him, my dear Guru Maharaj, what is my duty? How can I please you most? I'm Grihastha. What can I do for you? I cannot please you so much like your sannyasi, advanced sannyasi disciples. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote him back, and he practically repeated the same thing again, like 1922. 14 years later, he told him the same thing, his spiritual master told him the same thing, you should just try to preach in the English-speaking world. So that was the proof that actually that was the mission he really got. But his spiritual master wanted from him. Therefore Prabhupada said, I never forgot it. Therefore I became so much fanatic, he said. Therefore I practically weep you, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. He weep. He was weeping us. In LA he gave his famous class. Distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. It's not because it's my idea. I got some dream one night, so we should distribute books, or we should print these books. No, my spiritual master told me. And so because the spiritual master told me, when we don't do it, then we become useless. You should always do whatever the spiritual master tells you. And he tells you to worship the deity very nicely, do it. Then he knows the nature of his disciple, and therefore the spiritual master, he knows exactly what's good for him. And especially he knows that it's important to the time, place and circumstance, his acharya. So these acharyas like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he knew what is the right thing. Actually before Bhaktisiddhanta there was no book distribution, practically. It was only few books, but not printed. One has to write it single-handedly, write it down in the temple, you have to go to the temple. There were brahmanas or Vaishnavas, and you could give them a donation, and they were writing the Bhagavad Gita. You could order the Bhagavad Gita when you like to have it, and give a donation. So in this way you could get Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, all kinds of books. I know from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, it was like that. Lord Chaitanya found Krishna Kanamrita, Brahma Samhita, all the books, Kurma Samhita, in South India. So he brought it to Bengal, and there he presented it to the Vaishnavas, they copied it, and they were reading it, and somebody else were copying it. So we know in Vaishnava culture, history, there was one first book distributed to Srinivas Acharya. He was the one who actually brought the books from the Goswamis to Bengal, and he got also through troubles because the books became stolen somehow or other by one king. But later on he got it back, and he brought the books back to Bengal, where all the Vaishnavas anxiously were waiting for the latest realization of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. But they were only handwritten. So then they became copied there. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was producing the books. He was inventing this Brihadmidanga. Brihadmidanga. He had four printing presses in different temples in India. And he installed them in the temple room sometimes. Because they had not so much place. They had it in the temple room or in the next room that the deities could hear the beat of the tic-tac, tic-tac, tic-tac. And they could hear the printing press. So therefore Bhaktisiddhanta said, that's like Midanga, like Kirtan. That's the Brihad Kirtan, the Brihad Midanga. The Kirtan, we can hear some house clocks, but the Brihad Kirtan, the Brihad Midanga, we can hear all over the world. And the deities are very much pleased when they hear this Kirtan, especially the Brihad Midanga Kirtan. That's very nice sound vibration. So therefore, actually, book distribution is also deity worship. You should not think deity worship and book distribution is something else. But those who actually go out and distribute books, they also worship the deity. Because the deity is the king. We have the king and the queen here. Krishna, Govinda, and Radharani. They're our lordship. We are all the servants. We have different services according to our inclination and according to what's needed, to the needful. Utility is the principle. So therefore, everybody performs something, some activity for the pleasure of the lordship. So therefore we go out, some have to go out and distribute the books and bring new people, new servants to the temple. Because when there are no new servants in the temple, then the temple becomes very dry. And you know, especially when we have big temples, then it becomes very difficult how to maintain the atmosphere, the Sankirtan atmosphere very nice. Therefore, it's very nice to fill it up. You should not have it empty. You should fill it up. Everybody should have desire to fill up the temple with devotees, to bring as many people to the temple, somehow or other, by book distribution, by prasadam distribution, by Harinam Sankirtan on the street, by preaching, go to a person, or give them an invitation card, invite them to the temple. There are so many programs we can do, just to attract the people to the temple. When the temple is in transcendental goodness, it's Vaikuntha. When everyone comes to the temple, then one leaves practically hell. Especially here in New York, when you come to New York, yesterday we drove through the 42nd Street. Huh? Times Square, you know. That's real hell, you know. Drove there, you know, in the rush hour. 2 hours ahead, you know, practically to drive there, you know. I was completely intoxicated when I arrived here. Completely finished. So then we went in the temple, you know, and immediately when you're in the temple, you feel happy. You look practically leave the hell, you know. It's a real hell, this New York City. It's not practically a place for a gentleman, and for brahmacharis, and it's not so attractive. Not a hellish place. But when one comes to the temple, then it's a very nice atmosphere. It takes ashram, deities, see nice devotees. So, and automatically one remembers Krishna again. When you're out there, you know, you're completely merged in all this chaotic situation, you know. The body practically shivering like that, you know, when you come back, when you're 2 hours in the city. Therefore, intelligent people, they don't go and live in the cities. They don't go there. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he wanted to have the temple in the middle of the city. It was another revolution. He wanted, beside the book production, book distribution, he wanted to have the temples in the city, because he said when we have it on the land or the countryside, then everybody becomes lazy in eating and sleeping, they don't go out to preaching anymore. But when we have the temple in the city, then we get the necessity, we see the necessity how to have to preach, you know. You cannot stay all the time in the house, in the temple. You have to go out. after some time you should feel some urging sensation, you know, to go out and do something, you know, to preaching. And even when we don't feel so good, you know, in the beginning, but when we're actually out, we feel very happy, we feel very blissful. It's only always the beginning, the mind always tells you, you know, actually, not so important, you know, anyway they don't take, anyway they have already, anyway they don't want. Yeah. Oh, you're not in a good mood today, you're unhappy, you should become first Krishna conscious, then you can preach. First you have to save yourself, then you can preach. Then you can save others. There's so many excuses from the mind, why you should not go out. Oh, it's too cold, too hot, oh, it's too nasty, too heavy outside. I'm not blissful today. Oh, I had a bad sadhana today. Oh, I was rising with the left leg today. Everything goes wrong today. Why should go out? So many excuses. But when we actually do it, it becomes immediately blissful. Especially when you go out and chant, kirtan, distribute these books. Immediately we perform the most nicest activity, because it's very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya himself organized kirtan and sankirtan. Bhakti Siddhanta, very dear to the acharyas, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada, is Bhakti Nanda Swami Prabhupada. So, very dear to the Vaishnavas and to Lord Krishna. So because it's very dear to them, when they do it, they feel immediately satisfied, feel immediately blissful. You can be most miserable, but when you're out, you're most blissful. Some minute later, you're most blissful. Therefore, in the beginning, we should always have to try, we have to have the intelligence to drag us out. Somehow go out. Therefore, it's a blessing somebody is here who pushes you out, gives you sometimes the shoe, you know, in the back, as you go out. That's a blessing. Sometimes we don't have enough strength to go out. But then I actually out, and we think, what kind of fool I am actually, that I'm not out, why didn't I go out earlier? Why am I spacing out? I'm wasting my time. Why am I speculating all the time? Why am I always on the mental platform? We always lament when we're out. And then after 1 hour, 2 hours, we have to stop again, because we are late, you know. And we're so long on the mental platform, you know, thinking, now should I go out or not today? But then, you know, when you go out, then you think, oh, now the time, I have only 1 hour, 2 hours, practically finished now. So you cannot even become really warmed up. So, and when you should stop, when you stop, you know, when you are really goes on, you have to stop. So the best will go on, you know, longer. So the best thing is, you know, to always meditate. When one always meditates, then we never forget. When one is always on Sankirtan, in the temple, we should be in temple and outside in the temple of Sankirtan. In all circumstances. And like Srila Prabhupada showed through his example, he was on Sankirtan, you know, he was Grihastha. He was meditating about how to spread Krishna consciousness, although his family members, wife didn't like so much, you know, the tea or me story. So then he decided to go and leave, because she sold his Bhagavatam, very dear Bhagavatam. He was lecturing from it every day. So then he decided to leave. And he went to Vrindavan later on. And in Vrindavan, he was writing books, Bhagavatam. And when he had the first canto, then he came to the West. Came to the West and was starting here in New York this Sankirtan movement. ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he said, when we are in the spiritual world, we can create another ISKCON there. So this Sankirtan movement, or this Krishna Conscious organization, is an eternal organization. It's a spiritual organization. It started by Lord Chaitanya himself and transmitted through the pure devotee. Like I described, Lord Chaitanya is Parama Karuna, he's an ocean of mercy. But Lord Nityananda, he caught a canal out of this ocean of mercy, and he brought it to every door all over the world and asked everybody, please drown in this ocean, get the nectar of it. And those who closed the door didn't want to open, he splashed it open with the force of the ocean and of the water. He was splashing it open and overflowed the whole Griha and everyone in Krishna consciousness. So in this song it's described that everybody who actually gets the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the original spiritual master, he actually either swims in this ocean or he drowns in this ocean. And for those who don't take advantage of this mercy of Lord Nityananda and the pure devotee, the representative of the original guru, then he actually willingly makes suicide. So somehow or other we have to take advantage. The mercy is here. Always devotees ask, I want to have mercy. How can I get the mercy? Mercy is already here. The ocean or the canal is here through the guru parampara. So we just have to connect, just link up. That's yoga. Yoga means link up with Krishna, link up with this canal of Lord Nityananda, with this guru parampara prabdham. So we have to be connected. Otherwise, when we cut ourselves, then we become useless, asara. So we have to become connected with this guru parampara. Then we automatically become alive, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, those who have life, they preach. They preach. And for those who doesn't have life, they can ring the bell in the temple. But the preachers, they have to have life, and then they go out and spread Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, even when he was old, 70 years old, 80 years old, practically invalid, many problems because of old age, he was always transcendental. He knew I was not the body. And Prabhupada came 1977 to London. He met all the German Sankirtan devotees. They were in his room. So he asked them, because the Sankirtan devotees thought, now he will, Prabhupada, they introduced the Sankirtan devotees, they are the biggest book distributors now, all over the world. So Prabhupada said, so you know the philosophy? He asked. So then different devotees said different opinions. One said, Sarvadharma Prityocha, Mame Kamsaramracha, to surrender to Krishna, give everything up, that's the philosophy. Another one said, Yare Deke Tarika, Krishna Upadesh, to spread Krishna consciousness. Whoever you meet, you give him Krishna, that's the philosophy. And Prabhupada, he was lying there on the bed or sitting. He was very sick at this time. He was knocking with the head and said, yeah, but actually we have to understand that we are eternal. That we have to understand. We are eternal. Aham Brahmasmi. So long as we don't understand we are eternal, then whatever we do, what's the use? Therefore, whatever we do, we have to do it for Krishna. Whatever we do, we have to give a sacrifice. Give a sacrifice of Krishna, like it's described in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you do, whatever you eat or give away, whatever you perform, whatever yajnas you perform, do it for me, Krishna says. Yat karoshi yat ashnati yat tapasya kaunteya. Do it for me. So that means it's devotee. We don't go out just because we want to become number one or a big devotee or famous devotee or recognized, or that we have results or not results in devotional service. It's always good results just by trying it. So devotional service has to be without motivation, uninterrupted. Ahai sukhiya pratiya da yayatma supratiya di savaipum sham parodano yato bhaktiya dokshache. So we have to perform devotional service uninterruptedly and without motivation. And that will satisfy the self. And so Srila Prabhupada came to Europe practically before he left this world, 2 months. And he was there on his Vyasa Puja day. He had his dark glasses. He was sitting in front of the deity on Vyasa Puja day at his chairs. Had to bring him in the chair.
So I was looking on Radha Gokulananda. He was completely absorbed, tears flowing from his eyes. He had a completely other mood than before. Before he was always preaching, but this time he was completely absorbed. He was fighting, like Bhishma Dev, he was fighting on thousands of battlefields, thousands of cities and places. Like Prabhupada, he was fighting on the battlefield of preaching of thousands, different and millions of cities. And so after he had done his duty, and he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he practically gave up. He didn't give up the preaching, but he became more and more absorbed in Krishna now, in an intense feeling of separation. And so he was always fixed. He was fixed on the battlefield when he was fighting, therefore he was also fixed before the deity, and he was fixed before he gave up the body. He was always in samadhi. Therefore those who are always engaged in Krishna service are always in samadhi. So then Prabhupada was sitting there, Kamal Krishna Goswami, this time was the secretary, and he was reading and speaking about the activity and life of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was sitting there, head bowed down, very humbly, so he was speaking. But when Tamal Krishna Goswami began to speak about the mission, that book distribution, so life and soul of Prabhupada, and how he came to the West, how he was spreading Krishna consciousness in New York and in America, this time, the beginning time, 66. And Prabhupada, suddenly, he was rising his head, big smile, and was nicking the head, So he was so much pleased, Could understand, immediately everybody who was in the room could understand, book distribution. Printing books, distributing books, that's actually the life and soul of Prabhupada, the books. Therefore Prabhupada said, whatever I said, I was writing in my books. Whenever you want to know me, you have to read my books. Everything is there. There's nothing new to say. Therefore, read my books, distribute my books. These books are the law books for the next 10,000 years. So Srila Prabhupada, he's so much enlivened, books of his life and soul. So therefore, those who want to become united with Prabhupada have to make all the books to his life and soul. The Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. So it's not for the disciples only, also for the grand disciples and grand disciples. For the next 10,000 years, that's the top activity, to become absorbed in the Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada says, I actually want to write my books, but now you are GBC, so now you can organize. I just want to go to Nirjan Bhajan now and write books. Therefore, all your older disciples, please take responsibility. But somehow or other, they were not ready to this time so much. Prabhupada had always to interfere. And so then the message came, please come to London. Although he wanted to go to, a nice place in Africa, or to write books, or in America. So then the message came, the telegram came, there are so many new devotees, they're waiting for you, they never saw you, Prabhupada, please come. Although Prabhupada practically wants to go back, to withdraw himself from preaching activity, direct, and just write the books, become absorbed in the books, he could not do it. So he had to go. Then he said the famous phrase came, it's glorious to die on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, battlefield of preaching. I want to have the blessing like Arjuna to fight for Krishna on the battlefield of preaching and die on the battlefield of preaching. So this blessing, that's actually the real blessing a devotee wants. He doesn't want to, like Prabhupada say, I don't want to give up my body in the bed and I have a passing stool and urine.
I want to pass my body, give up my body on the battlefield of preaching. Like I told one story in Boston, I think it was in Hartford, to the Sankirtan devotee. There was one Sankirtan devotee, he had an accident, and he broke his spine up here, you know, twice. He was lying there, you know. So then the ambulance came, you know, the blue light, you know, siren. They came, you know, and they want to pull him away, you know. And so he had a book in the hand and said to the ambulance man, please take also one of the books, you know, and give a donation, you know. He broke his neck. And so that's exactly the mood, you know. When the ambulance comes, when Dad comes, when Dad personified comes, when Yamaraja or Yamadutas come, please take a book. You got already Prabhupada's book, the Bhagavad Gita? Read it. Take also one. Even Yamaraj comes, Yamaduta. Therefore it's described like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, and he went back home to Godhead, he practically stepped on the head of Dad. It became a step, you know, to go to the spiritual world. He didn't even recognize Dad, you know. He just was stepping, he used him to go up, you know, to the spiritual sky. So therefore, even Dad personified, when Dad personified come, give him a book. So whenever he is, you know, just preach. Preach till to the last of your breath. Then even when we drop our body on the street, you know, that's the success of life. Then we go back home to Godhead. So many devotees did it. So many of our God brothers already left planet, went back home to Godhead, somehow or other, absorbed in the preaching mission. Either by an accident or by disease. Even I know one story of one Mataji in Germany. She got cancer. She was a Sankirtan devotee. She did many years Sankirtan. She got cancer. When she came to, they wanted to. Actually, I have also to say, she didn't even believe in Krishna. She didn't believe Krishna is God, but she was very attached to her spiritual master, Hare Krishna Maharaj. She was very much attached. So she went out of love for him to distribute the books, but she didn't believe in the philosophy so much. He was married, the husband, just lately he told me the whole story. And then they wanted to bring her to Vrindavan, but she actually didn't want to go to Vrindavan, she actually wanted to leave. She wanted to leave Vrindavan, but somehow they hold her back there, you know, they hold her back there. And somehow or other, you know, she could leave the body in Vrindavan. You know? She wanted always to leave, you know. She said, I have so much pain, I want to go to the hospital. She was ready to leave, you know. She gave all force, you know, to go out of Vrindavan. But somehow she stood there by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. They hold her back there. So therefore, she could leave the body in Vrindavan, you know. And everybody knows, you know, when you leave body in Vrindavan, you go back home to Godhead. So we can see, even when you don't want, and don't understand the philosophy, but somehow become attracted a little to the devotee, you get Krishna's mercy. So somehow or other we have to become attracted to Krishna. Krishna, his holy name, to his books, to his devotees. That's all very dear to Krishna. And as described, the best of our worship is the worship of Krishna. But better than worship of Krishna is the tadya service, tadya seva. That means service of everything that's very dear to Krishna, like the service of the devotees, service to Tulsi Devi, service to the Bhagavatam. That's tadya seva, something that is connected, very dear to Krishna. So when we actually serve the tadya, then we actually can please very much Krishna. Somehow or other, fix our mind on Krishna this lifetime, find out our best duty or activity, to the form where we always can remember Krishna. Therefore, it's not necessary, you know, to just perform the devotional service that gives the best fame, name of fame. We should perform this devotional service that gives us remembering to Krishna, or that remembers us to Krishna and to Prabhupada. That we should do. Whatever it is, don't take the service or perform the service just because it's emphasized, because it's gives me name and fame and glory, etc. No, we have to become purified through it. So therefore we should always perform this devotional service so we can remember Krishna. But naturally when we distribute books and preach, then we always have to remember Krishna. Like Prabhupada once said, you know, how you can be a Maya when you distribute my books? When you see the pictures, you touch the books, you know, the books are not different from Krishna. You speak about the books. How can you be Maya? Therefore, somehow or other, we have always to speak about Krishna passing our books. So in this way, we always speak Krishna Katha. So naturally, in the time of that, you will also think Krishna, Krishna, and books, books. So that brings you back home, back to Godhead. Huh? Alright, I have to stop now. Hare Krishna, glory to Prabhupada. Question? To his devotee? Yeah? As good as Krishna. Pure devotee? When you meditate in the pure devotee and your spiritual master, in time you are dead, you go back to Krishna. But actually meditation on spiritual master means to follow his instruction. So the spiritual master don't tell you, meditate on me, meditate on Krishna. So when you really want actually to please your spiritual master, then you fix your mind on Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, the time of your death. And so then, because in this instruction of the spiritual master, when you remember Krishna, you also remember spiritual master. It's included. Because in his instruction, and the instruction is not different from spiritual master. So instruction is chant Hare Krishna, the time of your death, all the time. So when you do it, you meditate about Krishna and the pure devotee. That's perfect. Right? What else you want to say? He is not pure devotee?
Yeah.
Prabhupada saying? Narada Muni. Good luck. Huh? Then we are Kosti Anandi. We are Kosti Anandi, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we have to understand that different pure devotees, you know, cannot say that he's not pure devotee when he lives in Vrindavan, you know, and chants so many rounds and worships the deity. He's also pure devotee, but he's more, when he doesn't consider the conditioned souls and sees Krishna also outside, he's called Kanishtha Adhikari. Yeah, it's Kanishtha Adhikari can also be pure devotee when he is purified. But our disciplic succession, our line is the Goshti Anandi line. We want to preach. We are not satisfied just to create pucharis and deity worship. Bhajananda. Although Bhajananda is a very high elevated Krishna conscious platform, I cannot say it's not pure, it's very high, but most of us, we are not ready or we cannot do it. So therefore we should do what the spiritual master tells us to do. And that's the most important. Like when you go to Radhakund, you know, Radhakund, there's different, we always, when you go to Radhakund, there are different opinions. But we always in doubt, what should I do now? One sense we're saying we should take a bath, and one sense we should not take a bath. So what we should do? So the answer is, you know, we should do what the spiritual master told you to do. And he forbids you to go there, then he knows what's right for you, then don't go. And you take just 3 drops on your head. And then you take that's like a bath, you know. And when the spiritual master gives you permission to do it, you know, then he knows, you know, he takes the responsibility for you. So we have always to do what the spiritual master tells you. And not just any spiritual master, you know, we call Acharya line. No? Guru Parampara, like Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada, you know. This line you have to go. So this, for us, Prabhupada is the Shiksha Guru for us in the next 10,000 years. So we have to perform what he says, you know. Don't speculate. So when he says, you know, we should not try to imitate Haridas Thakur, that means for the next 10,000 years we should not do it. You should preach. Even when your spiritual master maybe tells you that, you know, he can tell you. It's his thing, you know. But Prabhupada said you should preach. That means come on the second platform. Madhyamadhikari. That's another question. You had one? Oh. Anyway, maybe it's the wrong word. Anyway, it's one of these rasas. It's only one who is that you want to fight with Krishna. No? You like to fight with Krishna. It's called rivalry or chivalry. Anyway, it's more or less, from my point of view, it's more or less the same. What? More or less the same. Chaturani maybe knows the right word. She's always absorbed in Krishna. She knows the philosophy very good. What's Bhishma Dev's rasa to Krishna? Huh? Chivalry. What did I say? Chivalry. Anyway, I meant the same thing, you know. Yeah, it's more or less the same thing, you know. Okay, next question. You have a question? No. No more questions? Good. Hare Krishna, glory to Prabhupada.